Stan Griffin's name is written in the book of life because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If you have not done that, your name is not in the book of life.
We are in John chapter 10. We'll be reading the first six verses. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we look at God's Word. And the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, but they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." Our Heavenly Father, I pray that would not be the case this morning, that we would clearly understand your word. As those that listened couldn't quite grasp what you were trying to say, we now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can be illuminated by your presence here in this room. And I pray that there'd be no one leaving here this morning that did not have a clear understanding of the fact that you are the door. And for us to enter into eternal life, it has to be through you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In John chapter 6, Jesus was the bread of life. In John chapter 8 and 9, he is the light of the world. In John chapter 10, this morning in our text, he is the door. We're familiar with doors. Every one of us walked through them. You walked through one to get into this building. We know that in a door, there's something on this side that we know about, and there's something on the other side that we might not know about. But obviously, as we go through that door, our minds are illuminated. We can see what is taking place on the other side of the door. Jesus described himself as the door. He is the door in this part that protects the sheep. Let's remember, number one, who we are. Say that with me. Who we are. I'd like to be known as an awesome force to be reckoned with, a man of charisma and power, wealth, establishment. My wife would be all for the wealth part, you know? But obviously, those are all pride things, none of which I have just listed are true. I'm not a man of charisma. I have no wealth. I have different things going on. We can want those things, but and we can all think certain things of ourselves. But the fact is this, we are just sheep. And that's not glamorous. We want to be something other than that. We want to be something that I just described. We want to be something that people want to be around. And that's the pride talking. That's the human nature talking. But the Bible says that we are just sheep. Let's not get too caught up with who we are. We are sheep. Psalm 103 says we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Those aren't glowing terms, but it's a fact. Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 and 29. I'm going to go to that text. You don't have to, but Acts 20 and verse 28, the apostle Paul says this, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, sparing not the flock." The Apostle Paul describes the church as a flock. What flock? A flock of sheep. And that as the pastor of the church, it is our duty, and you as members of the church, to watch out for one another, to protect one another, because there are dangers out there that will come in and try to get at the sheep. And it's our job to be watchful of those things. Notice he says to watch the flock, to beware of wolves. Wolves. In our text, we are told to beware of three things. In verse number 5, we're told to beware of strangers. In verse number 10, it's going to tell us to watch out for thieves. In verse number 12, there's a word called a hireling. Those are other things that need to be watched out for. We'll talk about them a little bit. But wolves are something that Jesus says to watch out for. Wolves attack unprovoked. They feast on the flesh of the prey. It's quite an accusation that false teachers would be compared to wolves attacking a flock. That's a harsh term. Now, you and I, as a preacher of the gospel, for instance, we have to be careful. I have to be careful what I say about other ministries, because obviously the Church of Jesus Christ is a special place that Christ was willing to give his life for. So I'm real careful what I say about the church. But there are our teachers, pastors, leaders of flocks, if you will, that Paul pointed out were dangerous individuals that would come in as wolves that would be dangerous to the church. You can say, wow, that's how vicious is that? We want wolves. Satan is very good at portraying wolves as being these cute little doggy looking things. I love dogs. I like dogs. I've always liked dogs. We have a dog. Fancy. Fancy's worthless. She's brain damaged. But there's something about Fancy that we just like Fancy. My wife named her Fancy when she was a puppy. She even brought the dog to church one time. We tried to baptize her, but she wasn't for that. So, but obviously it's just a dog. But we, we have a connection to our animals and we like these things. And Satan will come along and say, oh, the wolves aren't dangerous. And they want to reintroduce wolves into certain areas. And they've done that. That's a bad idea. Wolves are predators, and generally wherever they've put wolves, and if they have multiplied, they have become a problem. Why? Because wolves are predators. There's a reason why wolves became hard to find, because people that were good shots started killing them. That was, you know what, in the day, that was a good idea. Now I can say, oh, Stan, you can't say those were poor little things. Wolves are dangerous. If you're a farmer or you have livestock, you don't want those things around. If you have sheep, you certainly don't want them around because they are predators that prey on things. I want to warn you about false teachers that the Bible compares to wolves. That if someone comes in and they are not teaching and preaching the pure, unadulterated Word of God, then they are as dangerous as a wolf. And why would you say that? Well, let me point out to you, I want you to know that this book, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. There is one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. He is the door. If you don't go through that door, Jesus said, all that come in any other way are thieves and robbers. I won't tell the story this morning. I've shared it in the past. I don't really, obviously, our services are recorded. They'll go out to whoever wants to listen to them. So there are details in this story that I just assume not everybody knew. But there was a time in our life where in the middle of the night, about 2 o'clock in the morning on a moonlit night, there was a car that stopped in our driveway, and two men got out, and there was one that stayed in their car to drive, and they were coming around the back side of the house. It's very obvious the back side of the house is not the entrance to the house. My dad happened to be awake, and obviously he was able to stop that entire event from going on, the details of which are not important. But it was obvious to us that those people coming around the back side of the house in the middle of the night were not there to ask for a drink of water, okay? They were coming in some other way. If you're not coming in the front door, if you're coming in the back door, you had better be a good friend of the family. You had better be somebody we recognize. And it ought not to be at 2 a.m. One thing we always knew as kids, once we started dating, the front door got locked at 9 p.m. If you weren't home by 9, then you were a thief or a robber. You better not be coming home. Dad better know who you are when you show up, because it's not safe. Okay, why? That's just the rules in the Griffin household. Would be good rules for you to... Nothing good. I'm getting sidetracked here. Nothing good happens after 9 o'clock at night. Every time I read a police report of someone that's something has happened late at night, I'm thinking, why were they doing that? Why were they there? If you're not ready to go to bed by 9 p.m., you haven't worked hard enough during the day, okay? This is just a little extra stuff. This is, yeah, now see, that child didn't get a nap, and you can tell they're tired. That's how I feel when I haven't been to bed by 9 a.m., p.m., I mean, p.m. A.M., p.m., you know what I mean, okay? Just had a little Joe Biden moment there, that's all, but, okay? Isn't that, I shouldn't have said that. Apologize? Say you're sorry? Yes, yeah, exactly, I'm sorry. Okay, so, Revelation chapter 20, we're talking about wolves. We're talking about the danger of false teaching. We're talking about what happens when we are not telling the whole truth of the Word of God. I am concerned at times that we look at heaven and hell as being places that are options. We talk about heaven a lot. Jesus talked about hell way more than he talked about heaven. Hell's not popular. We want to be popular. So let's not bring up the unpopular things. But hell is in the Bible just is more so than heaven is in the Bible. What are we talking about? Well, we talk about the good news. You know, I want to go to heaven? Oh, yeah, I want to go. Are you planning on going? Oh, sure. Are you sure you're going? Well, no, I've been a good person. I'm afraid that some people look at dying and going to heaven in the same way that if you asked me, hey, you going to Disney World this fall? It's just a place to go. Maybe you're going, maybe you're not. But if you decide not to go, don't let it bother you. Well, it ought to bother you, because if you're not going to heaven, there's a place in Revelation that's very clear. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. If you have your Bible, let's take a look at that verse. And the Bible says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Hello. Those are strong words. Because if you're not going to heaven, you're going to hell. And there's a book in heaven called the Book of Life. And we used to sing a song, one of the old hymns was, "Is my name written there on the page bright and frere? In the book of thy kingdom is my name written there." And Stan Griffin's name is written in the Book of Life because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If you have not done that, your name is not in the Book of Life. You will not be going to heaven. If you're not going to heaven, you are going to hell. And shame on that preacher of the gospel that never talks to his flock about heaven and hell. Because those are real places, and we are going one of two places. There are no other options. That's it. And so the danger is, the reason why they're wolves and thieves and robbers is because they have stolen the truth and turned it into a lie, and they have destroyed lives that could have been saved if the truth had been shared with them. And so the Apostle Paul's not polite about how he talks about false teachers and those that would twist God's word. It's extremely important that we teach the whole counsel of God, because Jesus Christ is the door and there is no other way. And if they're going any other way, they're thieves and robbers. Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." The world wants to make that wolf nice and cute and lovable and adorable, but they are not. So they're who we are sheep. It also goes on, talks about in John chapter 10, the other three people. There's the thief, obviously coming in the wrong door. There is the hireling. That's the person that runs at the sign of trouble. They're just in it for the money. And sad to say, there are preachers that are just in it for the money, although I can't imagine they would be. There's not that much money in it. I guess maybe if you can get a few book deals or something, or some deal going on that somehow you can make it profitable for you. But the fact is, there are hirelings that are in certain jobs for just the money, and they don't really care about the people that they are working with. That can come in any profession. Thieves, hirelings, and obviously Jesus warns of the hireling in verse number 12, because in John chapter 10 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep." And obviously the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Who are we, class? We're sheep, okay? Whose are we? We belong to Jesus Christ. He is the shepherd. Remember Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What's the shepherd do? The shepherd watches over the sheep and cares for us. I want you to know, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are sheep. He is the shepherd. You are under his protection. I like that. I like that. My dad was a guy that I love, still do. Thank God he's still with us. But as a young man growing up, just a kid Cody's age or younger, growing up in the Griffin household, I had great comfort in knowing that my dad was there and I felt protected. And I feel sorry for the broken homes that are going on today. Fathers are needed. Moms are needed. And it's a two-man job raising a family. It takes a mom and a dad together on the same page, agreeing together on how to raise the kids. And if there's any friction going on between the husband and the wife, the kids can sense weakness, and they can smell it, and they can work against you, and they will divide you and conquer you. You want to watch out. Their kids are dangerous when they see parents that aren't getting along. But when they're together and they're working together, that's God's plan. That's the way it's always supposed to be. That's the way it should be. And I grew up in one of those homes where mom and dad seemed like they were lockstep together. Now, looking back on it, I realized that they didn't always agree, but they would never admit that in front of us. They'd realize the importance of being together in the mission, in the job. But I felt protected in my home because my dad was there. And I want you to know you can have that same sense of protection that the Bible teaches, that there is no chance anything can happen in your life because you're under the umbrella of God's protection. Jesus Christ is your shepherd, and he will guide you through whatever crisis may be going on. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't some hard times. The Bible says there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, 1 Corinthians 10:13. But God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful. Do you ever feel like he's not there? You don't need to answer that. I have. Absolutely. So, Lord, what's going on? Hello, did you forget me? Who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted beyond your limit, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He's the shepherd. He's protecting us. He's watching over us. I'm sheep. Nothing special about me, but I belong to Jesus Christ. He is the door. He is the one that watches out for us and protects us. He puts his life on the line in verse number 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And then verses 17 and 18 says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." He's the door. He puts his life on the line. So who I am, we are sheep. It's who we are. Whose we are, we belong to Jesus Christ. And verse number 14, John chapter 10. Look at that verse. "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. Very quickly, I'll tell you how this works. I've explained this before, but if you've never seen this, the shepherd is the door. Sheep herders would bring their flocks to a common place in the evening. All the sheep are in there. Sheep are not branded. Sheep go in there, and there they are, and they're all mingled together. And we got several shepherds. A shepherd can come on up, and he'll use his call. I've perfected the call. Would you like to hear the sheep call? You would. All right, here we go. Takes total silence. Here, sheep. And all those sheep would know my voice that are mine. No other sheep is going to move. And so when they hear my voice, it's the voice of the shepherd. And they come running out of the pen, and all the other ones stay because they don't recognize my voice. They don't belong to me. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they are known of mine. In other words, they recognize me, and I recognize them. They know my voice, okay? At the evening, when all of them are in there, one of the shepherds will lay down. There is no gate. They don't swing it around and lock it. He lays down in the front of the entrance to the pen. Now he is the door. If a wolf wants to get in, he's got to go over the shepherd. If trouble wants to come into the pen, he has to go over the shepherd. The shepherd is willing to give his life for the sheep. Whatever problem is coming that way, the pen is behind him. The sheep are behind him. He is the door, and he's going to protect them. That's what goes on when Jesus says, I am the door. You can't get to me without stepping over Jesus Christ to get to me. Hey, Satan, there's nothing you can do to touch me. Jesus Christ is the door, and he's protecting me. And all God's people said, amen. Don't lose sight of that. I'm glad to be a sheep because Jesus Christ is my shepherd. And lastly, who we are, whose we are, and whosoever will. Verse number 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Matthew 10, 27 to 28 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus is saying, I don't have all the sheep now, but I'm going to have, and I'm going to be calling them. And I got good news this morning. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he is calling you right now. He was talking about you in John chapter 10. He was letting you know that there's going to be more sheep added to the fold. And by God's grace, if you're willing to call yourself a sheep and belong to Jesus Christ, then you can choose him as your personal Savior. All you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior. And now he is your shepherd. You belong to him. He's the door. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. Quite frankly, in Revelation chapter 3, that was the door of the church, because the church had gotten so backslidden, so pathetic, that Jesus Christ was no longer in the church, and he was knocking on the door to the church to try to be allowed to come back in. What a horrible thing. But I want you to know, person this morning that doesn't know Christ as your personal Savior, he knocks at your heart's door. And he wants to come in and be a part of you. And once you invite him in, he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And he's your shepherd. And I want you to know, Stan Griffin belongs to the fold of Jesus Christ. He is my shepherd. And I can't tell you about all the things he has brought me through. And I probably don't even know all the things that he has protected me from. But I'm so glad to just be called a sheep. Heavenly Father, I hope that every person here is part of the fold. They have come to the door, which is Jesus Christ, and they have asked to be let in. And Lord, it's as simple as saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior, forgive my sins. We recognize that you are the only way. And Lord, we have said this morning, and it is so true, that without Christ, we will die and go to hell. But with Christ, you have made a home in heaven for us. Those are the only two places. As C.S. Lewis said, you have never met a mere mortal. We are immortal. We will live forever somewhere. Life with Christ or eternal death, a death that never ends without Christ. Lord, the options seem so clear, so easy to choose. I choose Christ. I choose life. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Then, Lord, there could be folks here that are going through struggles. They need to be reminded that you're their shepherd, that you'll never leave them or forsake them, that you love them, and you will supply their needs. Lord, we'll open the altar. We'll give folks a chance to respond. I hope that whatever needs to be brought to you this morning, we would do that. I hope that every person leaving this room will have said at some point in their life, possibly even this morning, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. Bless this time as we dedicate it to you. In Jesus' name, amen.